Hey, Better Leaders, it's Danny Sunshine Bauer, and I have a quick message I want to share with you. If you're not new to the show, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk over and over again about Mastermind. It's a hybrid group coaching and leadership development community that I created specifically for school leaders. They are blowing up. They're going bananas right now, and they're so popular, I've actually opened a third group. What I want you to know is this. Starting May 6th, the membership is increasing. And so if you want to lock in the best deal, the best rate you'll ever get, you need to act now. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com, type mastermind in the search box, and a bunch of podcast episodes as well as blog posts will pop up and you can learn about the value of a mastermind. By now, if you're ready to join, then I want you to go to the website, betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM for mastermind. Lock in that rate because I'm telling you, May 6th, the membership increases. Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free year-round fundraising program for schools. You can learn more at schoolspiritvending.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I talk with somebody that I just so deeply respect and admire and just enjoy listening to her stories, and she always cracks me up, Jennifer Abrams. And we get into a lot of ideas like, what does it mean to play in the deep end of the pool? How do we make different choices in work? And what the shift from teaching to leading in school requires? I don't take it for granted that you're listening. Thanks and enjoy the show. Well, hey, Better Leaders, I am so excited to be joined again, part two, with Jennifer Abrams. And Jennifer considers herself a voice coach, helping others learn how to best use their voices, be it collaborating on a team, presenting in front of an audience, coaching a colleague, or supervising an employee. Jennifer has been recognized as one of 18 women all K-12 educators need to know by Education Week's Finding Common Ground blog and the International Academy of Educational Entrepreneurship's 2015 Entrepreneur of the Year. Jennifer's publications include Having Hard Conversations, The Multi-Generational Workplace, and Hard Conversations Unpacked. Jennifer Abrams initially was my guest on episode 36, and I encourage you to go back there and listen to that. So Jennifer, thanks for joining me again on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited. Remind me what number this is. I was there at 36, and how old are we now?
We're 50-something, 52 episodes older. We're on 88.
Wow. We look good.
We look good.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing too, I looked, your show last year released April 20th. So it's about a year ago too, to the day.
Awesome. Awesome. Very fun.
It's kind of neat. And, you know, I've really enjoyed building a relationship with you and I've learned a lot. And that's why I asked you back.
Thanks.
One of the things that I love that you put out is your newsletter called Voice Lessons. And I just want to take a minute to encourage all the listeners. If you don't know Jennifer's work, there'll be a link in the show notes and go to jenniferabrams.com. And you could sign up for that newsletter. But the February issue is the one I read. That's where we're recording this. And you had this story about Get Out and a professor pushing college students to get out, become global citizens with a responsibility to do good. And a quote I pulled was, "We need to start field trips early and commit to getting out. Out of schools to see what others are doing. Out of regions to see how things happen elsewhere. Out of our countries to see how we are all connected." And so I'm just curious, what would you say to school leaders that are listening? What can we do to encourage that type of get out thinking and acting?
Oh my gosh. I think it takes a growth mindset. I think it takes innovation. I think it takes curiosity. And I think it takes a little extra push past the day-to-day. And that is the hardest part. It isn't just continuing to have the conversation with the people that you already go to work with, you already got your Starbucks, you're already there. It's, wow, I have to set aside time intentionally to find other people. And this podcast clearly helps. Professional Learning Network on Twitter help, but that still has you in your second bedroom or in, you know, in your car, and you're still solo. I think it requires a pay to play kind of mindset, in the sense that I got to find the grants. Oh yeah, I got to write to the grant. I got to find the places. But I was just speaking with an assistant superintendent who said, where can I find people who are like me. And that means that you've got to go to the conference. You've got to find the opportunity. When I was a young teacher, and this was really interesting, I just was sending this out to people as well. There was a National Endowment for the Humanities. I bet you anything that still exists. I had an opportunity to study Dickens. I was a high school English teacher, and to study Thackeray. And I did it in... I did it in London. Now, I also did a Fulbright, and there's no doubt that those summer programs continue to go. You have to find it. You have to write an app. But I spent 6 amazing weeks in India. Mm. This was expense paid. Wow. I mean, this is, it really, those things continue to happen. And I just got word that there is a something that's free that is going on. I think it's at Tufts University this summer. It's like a 2 to 3 week. You'd have to figure out how where you're going to stay and all that. But it was like maybe for history teachers or government teachers on citizenship. And people were coming from all over that were university profs to talk about that topic. And it was on like a Harvard kind of listserv that I was on. And I sent it to somebody. And my friend wrote back, golly, I wish I knew people that were hungry enough, curious enough to go to the deep end of the pool and to take that step. And I remember doing it, but it takes some effort. I mean, it's a Saturday afternoon to write the app. It's a Sunday afternoon to write the grant, but it's worth it. And I could go on and on about things that I do that sort of step me outside of where my normal place is because it's so freaking interesting to talk to people. So anyway, ask me more because I got so many other ideas.
I'm going to jump ahead and go off tangent and then I'm going to circle back to something that piqued my interest there. But, you know, you're talking about teaching English. And I know the last time we talked, found out one of your joys is theater. So I'm just curious, you know, have you seen any good shows lately?
You know what's funny? I am going to Cirque du Soleil 2 Saturdays from now and I can't find anybody to go. So I was literally going to invite you to fly in to come with me to Cirque du Soleil. There's Lucia. But I was thinking for my 50th birthday, I would head to New York to go see some theater. I've got a friend, an amazing woman, actually, consultant, little plug for her, Giselle Martin Neep, who lives there, who said, just come stay with me. But I'll tell you, and this will circle back anyways to that last thing, I got this amazing invitation. I mean, it's a pay to play. And when I say pay to play, you've got to invest. Okay. You've got to invest time. Mm-hmm. You've got to invest funding to go to a conference in Seattle, called, I think it's the Think Collaborative. No, it's not Think Collaborative. I have to find it. It's a guy named Shane Parrish and he writes a blog that I get every Sunday called Farnham Street. Guy's based out of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And he thinks about thinking. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he helps people see where their hidden biases are, their assumptions are, their decision making missteps are. And as I was reading, you see all of these links that he puts together. He's just seems fascinating. So he said, you know what? I bring people together. We're all going to hang out at this hotel. I'm doing it for a small group. Here's how much it costs. Get yourself there. Let's do it. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that kind of step me outside of education to then bring back some pretty cool things to educators, teacher leaders, administrators, anybody who's doing anything in education about the field of thinking. I mean, it just, so I signed up for that. So I'm not going to see theater. I'm going to go spend two nights and 3 days or whatever in Seattle instead. And maybe I will go see theater, but I got nothing on. Isn't that awful?
No, that sounds exciting, you know?
I'm excited. They're not going to be teachers. They're not going to be educators. They're going to be people, he said, people come from the Navy, people come from the NFL, people come from, because they're trying to get this critical thinking concept across to people who want to make different choices in their work. And if you think that educators can't or shouldn't know how to make different choices based on better thinking paradigms, I mean, we're really missing out. So I just thought, how can I kind of twist this and make it apply to my context? So I'm excited to bring the information back. I think it'll be great. And it's on my time zone.
There you go.
So I'm really excited. I travel too much. So I'm like, oh, okay, if it's on my time zone, that's pretty good for me.
I like that you sing that too. Time zone.
I know. I'm totally pumped about it. I mean, it's a short flight from San Francisco. So that was another bonus. But Shane Parrish, Farnham blog, Farnham, H-A-M, Barnum Street blog. And it's just kind of a funky, extra outside, maybe what your, you know, weekend blogging, reading looks like. I mean, I get a bunch of stuff, but sure, that's one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out after we're done recording. I think thanks for the advice there. And, you know, you're talking about different types of thinking, different types of choices. And I added a new question to the show. So I'm really interested in how you're going to answer this. But concerning school leadership, what have you changed your mind about in the past few years?
I don't think I've changed my mind. I think that I've solidified, or it's become clearer to me, that the shift from teaching to leading requires a significant amount of skill building and mindset shifting. And I sort of stepped into leadership and sort of picked it up. But as I continue to work with people, the pace has gotten so fast, and the complexity of the initiatives and the needs of the children are so in front of us that we just sort of push things, and we want it to be fixed and change. And I think that we need to continue as leaders to be more aware of how to scaffold and build capacity for other adults. I think that's what I've kind of grown into, is the absolute need to realize that you are there to grow the adults, not just the kids. And there is a huge skill set to doing that effectively.
Can you dig into that in terms of what it takes to grow adults?
Yes. So I'm marinating on this, and I'm percolating on it, because I'm writing a book this year about playing in the deep end of the pool. And that's what leaders are doing. I was talking to you before we started about the floaties that people have to wear when they first start swimming. And I think that teacher leaders, VPs, APs, people aspiring to do whatever role it is, I'm not denying that they're smart. I think that we are smart people. I think that there is a use for floaties. I need floaties doing certain skills. And how do we kind of cut up the tasks and teach people how to do that? So one of the people that has really impacted my thinking on this is, I've got two thoughts. One is Ellie Drago Severson. Ellie Drago Severson is a professor in adult learning and teacher leadership and education at Columbia Teachers College. She wrote a book with her co-writer, Jessica Bloom DiStefano, and they wrote a book called Tell Me So I Can Hear. And it's not about the kids. It's about pitching your feedback, your support, your communication to other adults so they can hear it. And she worked under a gentleman named Robert Keegan, one of my cognitive crushes, a gentleman who worked at Harvard and has written a number of things. He's now retired. But he was interested in adult development. And I think we are here not just to supervise or to evaluate or to, you know, make sure people do the job, but we're here to develop every person in the school. And so I'm going to do a little bit with Ellie and Jessica's work and combine it with, and I'm almost done, combine it with the new, this was last year, John Hattie did his meta-analysis sort of revamp in 2015, maybe 2016. And it was, drum roll, what's got the greatest effect size to increase student achievement? Collective efficacy. Ba-da-da. So what is collective efficacy? Well, it is the mindset of the faculty at a school that together they can support student achievement. Well, they didn't get into the business to talk to each other. They got into the business to grow kids. And there is great work. John Safier just did a great book about building the efficacy of students called High Expectations Teaching. So there's got to be great work going on in the classroom. I'm not denying that. But the people have to work with each other to learn from each other to get even better at teaching. And so with that research and Ellie's research, I think that there is, for me, a shift in my thinking that it isn't just a call to action, that we need to talk to adults more effectively, which I've been working on for the last, I don't know, golly, I don't, 10, 15, 16 years. But it's the essential need for the skill building around that and the lack of training is a terrible word. The lack of really emphasizing how one does that as a leader to support the other leaders in the school to grow each other. I don't think we know how to do that. And so I want to write a book on that. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm experiencing as a new principal and something that I've been curious about myself. Just, you know, what are those moves, you know, to develop that skill? So the follow-up question for me was just, what do you think the first step is?
Strangely, the first step is to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Keegan and Leahy from Harvard wrote a book called How the Way We Talk Can Change the Way We Work. And that came out a number of years ago. And what's funny about that book, How the Way We Talk and Change the Way We Work, is how you talk to yourself. And I think that that's an amazing thing because there are like 100 pages and 50 of them have nothing to do with verbally speaking to anybody. It has everything to do with how you talk yourself out of things. You have biases against people. You have a mindset that doesn't even think about that. So if you're a VP, I don't remember your role at the moment, but let's say you're a leader of a school and you really don't think it's worth it to grow this teacher. And all you keep going is she's retiring soon anyway. She doesn't have what it takes. She's not ready for prime time. You'll never have the conversation to grow her because you're psyching yourself out of it. And I think the first move is to trust in the capacity that others can change. They want to develop. And then the interpersonal skills of how do you communicate that positive presupposition? And then the willingness, I guess, maybe this is, and I'll talk to you about this in a second, the psychological capacity to withstand the resistance as you build this kind of adult. And I'm not saying you're building the adult, they're growing themselves. But as you work with adults, there will be stretch points and people will not want to do that next push-up. And you've got to have the strength and the belief to do that. And so then that leads me to final piece. Ontario, the province of Ontario, Canada rocks. Okay, I just little shout out for the province.
Ontario,
woo! So the Ministry of Education in Ontario talked with principals and discovered that along with leading schools and building budgets and rolling out curriculum and doing everything that a principal does, that they needed to build their personal leadership resources. I think it's their PLRs. I may not have that right. And they're really their intrapersonal, like inside yourself skills, your interpersonal skills, and your kind of social, psychological kind of stamina to deal with having to work with such a large organization and the push and pull of what that's going to be. And I've always thought I've got to do something with that. And with Ellie's work, with John Hattie saying, hey, this is it, with all the needs that we're seeing in terms of culture and gender and differentiation of all types, we need to be able to know ourselves and to know how to work with such a variety of people and to do so with some grace. So how do we do that? Because it's going to take that. It's going to take those skill sets to make the leader effective. And I don't know where we teach that, honestly.
Yeah, in an explicit fashion, right?
Yeah, in an explicit fashion. I don't think, and then we think that adults should just be adult, know better. My God, if I didn't go into therapy, what the heck, you know, like, you know.
I'd be a worse mess than I am right now, so.
Right. Here's to them. Here's to the therapist.
So you got the book in you, and the topic is incredibly interesting. What's the process of getting that book out of your head? And how do you go about, you know, you're passionate, you're obsessed with this idea, it sounds like, but how do you get it out onto paper, and what's that process look like? I don't know, what's the timeline look like for you generally?
There's no generally. I've done it 3 times before, so it gets a little easier because you know where it's going. in the sense that, and this is not for a new writer, but because a new writer will have to not only write the proposal, but see if anybody wants the book.
Okay. You know, wow.
And then provide like a chapter. You want to talk about self-efficacy. This is not like I had cocktails with them, but I want to tell the story. I was in a situation where I had an opportunity to have a drink in the same room and 30 seconds with Andy Hargreaves and Michael Fullan. And they're really, wonderful colleague, to be very honest with you, especially when they're trying to support you in moving forward with your work. And I really appreciate both of them. They don't write proposals anymore. they write books and then they go, I think it would be great if you published it. If you don't want to, that's fine. But they just write it. They see a need. They know how to put together a thread so that the reader is paced, is you're walking with the reader and the reader can track your thinking, and you ultimately help the reader build a skill set, but you have to build a foundation. Why is this a reason for this? Do I really think this is that important? Where might I be able to, you know, to gain something from this? How do I want to do that? And I've done it enough that I kind of get the format and I kind of have a little bit more confidence that I know how to put it together. So I think this is me, and it's Feb 1, so hold me accountable to this. I would like to get this book written, rough draft by the time I start traveling internationally in September.
All right.
So that means a lot of Saturday afternoon, no makeup, sweatpants, workout, put the coffee on, and then don't leave, you know, because you have to sit in silence and kind of put the sentences together. And then it'll go to peer review, maybe, depending on what publisher, if I don't know them. And then it'll go to maybe, you know, there's got to be feedback from the editor. And then I'm hoping it would be sort of formatted. And if I know how to format it at this point, and I already put it together the way that I put the other books together, text boxes, sidebars, what needs to be in gray, what needs to be in italics, all that kind of stuff. If that's sort of in your head already, just like a choreographed kind of musical, then it can get to formatting and publishing pretty quick in 3 months or something. Does that make sense? You got to know, but you got to have an idea about who's going to write the foreword, and you got to give them the first draft. And does that person have anything to do with this topic? And you've got to make sure that you have the graphic designer understands what you'd like for the cover. And so there are lots of other little things that you could get hooked on that I got very frustrated about my first time. Mm-hmm. And I drank a lot of vodka. and I'm not going to do that anymore because I can swim in the deep end, maybe with floaties, maybe not, right? So it's a process, and it's a development, that's for sure.
So you've brought up the deep end of the pool about 3 times or so this podcast episode. Can you define that for the listeners? You know, what do you mean by that?
A couple things. I've put it out in my newsletter in January, and I put it out because I put it out to folks that were hungry for leadership roles, they had leadership roles, and I'm just checking out to see if they like the metaphor. And their comments back were fascinating. One person said, "Oh, I know a lot of people that actually just want to stay in the shallow end." And I said, "Oh, teachers? Yeah. They don't want to actually, you know, put themselves out there in leadership positions. And what would you say to them?" And so I realized it's sort of like, I don't want to work with the adults. So working with the adults is the deep end of the pool. Making a difference in your school beyond your classroom is the deep end of the pool. I've had people say, why isn't everybody already there? This is ridiculous, which means that they're already on the high board and they're saying, why do you still wear floaties? So there's no tolerance, compassion, or capacity to scaffold.
Just a little bit of judgment in there. That's
But that was not me. That's what other people have said.
Right.
And I'm liking, you know, there are people that are like, oh, I don't, and then they're starting to use, I want to be only in the kiddie pool, you know, and that's sort of very literal, like all I want to do is stay with the kiddies. But also if you only stay in the kiddie pool, it's really shallow. You can't grow your muscles in the kiddie pool. You can, you know, lie in the sun up to your knee. But I don't think that that's really growth. And so it's about what's your stretch point? What do we think we need in schools? Something like that. I have to, you know, you're pushing my introduction to my book. I got to figure out my metaphor. Yeah. Thank you. That's really.
No, it's great. Yeah. Just re-listen to the episode. You know, keep working on it. It'll help out.
I know. Right. It's like, okay, what are the metaphors? Yeah. Something like that.
Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free year-round fundraising program for schools. And believe it or not, their CEO and founder, Matt Miller, was a guest on episode 5 of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. He can increase your school spirit with custom stickers for your school and raise funds at the same time. There's no upfront costs, no volunteers, no selling. It's absolutely free to you, the school. If you're sick of the same old ways of raising money, check out School Spirit Vending at schoolspiritvending.com. So, and I like this idea of, you know, pushing yourself, pushing the boundaries. And you have that conference coming up. I think I Googled it. I think it's called Rethink. Does that sound right?
That's maybe the one I'm talking about. That's the Shane Parrish one.
Yeah. So that'll be linked up for the listeners. And so is the blog and your blog. And so, you know, pushing yourself, you're going to that conference. Is there anything else you're currently doing to push yourself?
Well, I'm going to write the book. I'm also going to, this is a push only in that I haven't worked in these parts yet. I've never gone to the European Council of International Schools Conference. So I want to see what that mindset is like, those attendees are like. So I'm heading to Barcelona. I was also asked to go to Abu Dhabi to work for a conference. And what does that mean? And these are all international schools, so they will be English speaking. They will, the classrooms will look just like anybody else's classroom in the United States. So that's not going to be different. But it's host, local host national country mindset. What are the challenges that those families manage? What kind of child is coming to your class? What kind of, and so I'm kind of interested in that. And I'm going to go speak to, I'm going to guess, this is my thought, primarily heads of school at this international conference I'll go to next week. They'll come in and want to be doing, what are they going to do? They're going to go and search for teachers. So they're here to recruit, but talking to superintendents, talking to heads of school compared to teacher leaders or to directors of assessment or whatever, they have a totally different mindset when they approach a classroom. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating to talk to a head of school. So that stretches me because I want to make an impact. And this actually shifts me to this other book that I was reading, a book called Global Dexterity. But it's not about global dexterity. It's about, I want to be authentic, but I'm in the culture of heads of school, which I think is kind of different and I don't get it. And maybe I have a judgment. And so how am I authentic, but how do I adapt? And I think that that's a really interesting, I put myself in the deep end a couple of times just to see, you know, like, well, do I completely whiff the ball here or, you know, just to see if this fits? I mean, because not everybody's my tribe, you know, so I try. Those are a couple things I'm doing. I got to think.
Love it. That's great.
Yeah.
What do you think is the worst leadership advice you've been given or have heard being given?
Slow down. Slow down. Don't push. It's not helpful advice. I mean, I understand the advice. I think it would be better if somebody gave me the advice of, do you see how this may not fit at the moment? What might you do to take a piece of that so you feel productive as you're moving forward, but you still pitch it at the right level? I think when people go, slow down, you're doing too much, don't overreach, it just stops the whole thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it just crashes the person. The person has to like completely come to a halt as opposed to how do I dance with the challenge I'm facing and keep dancing forward? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's deflating, right?
It's deflating. Thank you. Yeah. It's deflating because it's like, don't do that.
Do we offer that advice because we're scared?
I think we see that resistance might be coming, that the person is stylistically maybe not pitched at the right level, that they are coming across in a way that could absolutely stop the work moving forward. But it's not specific enough to teach anybody why one might need to modify either pace or tone or wording or add supports or something so that what the person's intention was, where they're trying to head, is not wrong. It's about, let's try to actually do it in a way that can be positive or could be successful. So I don't want you to stop. I want you to consider. I want you to step back, you know, kind of, it's like when you do a deadlift, you know, with, you know, at the gym, if you just wing, you're going to whack your back out. There are, and you know that because I've seen you on Facebook with all your training material, whatever. So if you, you know, put your, you know, get yourself down, get your, you know, get your back straight, tighten up your glutes, get your shoulders packed, get your, do you see what I mean? Like all of those things need to be at the ready for it to be a successful lift. To say, okay, stop, you know what I mean? Now all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm not going to do any of it right. You know what I mean? It's deflating. And I think it's also, I want to make sure the person who says it isn't saying it because we're not doing it the way they would do it. And I don't know if they've got that awareness.
Yes, that's all I'm going to say. Yes.
Okay, good, right. Because it always doesn't work here. And it's like, okay, dude, you know, backtrack a little bit. You brought me in. Now help me understand the culture, but don't, you know, but don't just, you know, stomp on me, idiot, you know, because then I'm going to say idiot and then it's all going to be crap.
Yeah, then it doesn't work well at all. That hard part here, and stop too much, you don't even want to start anymore, you know?
Correct. Correct. You've got to keep the, what is it? You've got to keep the momentum. Mm-hmm. You just have to, yeah, you got to modify. You don't have to stop. You have to modify. And that takes a lot more critical thinking, right?
It does.
Oh,
it does.
So frustrating, that critical thinking thing.
Jennifer, when you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to mind?
Oh, I loved my former director of elementary ed and new teacher induction, Becky Cohn Vargas. Becky Cohn Vargas is the author, co-author of a book called Identity Safe Teaching. Identity Safe Classrooms, I apologize. Identity Safe Classrooms. She was my supervisor for, I want to say 9 years as I was doing professional development. And that woman, weebles wobble, but you don't fall down. I have never met anybody who was willing to get in the deep end more than her. She was, let's try this, let's try that, let's go. And she just was growth mindset personified. And I think that her courage and her compassion and her ability to just keep moving and to talk to so many different people was really a model for me. Yeah, it wasn't structure. It wasn't, it was that she just said, I really respect you. And we continue to talk as colleagues, but she was my boss. And she was able to offer back some feedback that some people wouldn't. She one time said to me, you're going to have a feeling about what I'm going to tell you right now. And we actually don't have time for that. What I need you to do is to get it done. And we'll talk about it later. And I went, okay. And that was it. I just did it. I mean, you know, because she just knew who I was, but she knew what the work was. And that was it. She was just a really, she continues to be just a really amazing mentor in that way. Because I'm way much more perfectionistic and judgmental about myself and how things should run. And she was like, you know, be like the willow, you know? And I'm like, be like the willow, you know, like,
what is that? Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, what is that? And right. She was like, you gotta, honey, I've worked in Oakland. I've worked in Palo Alto. I've worked here. I've worked there. I work with, what did she work with? Shoot. Not in our schools. She did a bunch of anti-bullying work. She wrote a book. She got a PhD. You know, you need to be up at 5? Fine. You need to be up at midnight? Fine. You need to work on this topic? Fine. You see something in the paper you don't like? I guess we'll have to roll with it. She taught me that nobody's going to die if they, you know, and you just, you're like a will. Woo! You know, like a reed. You just sort of can kind of, and she bounced back better than anybody I know. She continues to.
Yeah, that's a bend, don't break type of philosophy.
Yes, right. She is a bend, don't break person. She's just an extraordinary soul, I guess.
Sounds lovely. Lovely.
She taught much more than her topic or in her job or whatever. Yeah, she's a good egg.
Yeah, I wish the listeners could see me now, you know, I'm smiling so big because the way you described this person and her awareness of who you were too, you know, awareness of herself and awareness of you. Mm-hmm. What a treat to have that as a mentor.
Yeah, it was a gift to actually have her be my supervisor because there were a lot of other supervisors that I also had at that same school district and they were different. And I would get, I'd complain and she'd basically say, it's not fun, is it? Okay, let's just keep going. You know, she didn't want to gossip. She didn't want to piss on anyone. She just knew what the work was and that there were going to be bumps. And she just kept going. And I was like, no, I'd like to suck my thumb and sit here for a minute and be angry. Right. And she'd be like, we don't really have time for that. And I kind of grew up around that. I got more adult. Yeah, it was cool.
Speaking of time, kind of, you could snap your fingers and automatically be good at something. What would that be?
Oh, sitting still for long periods of time and being more disciplined with my writing. That's just really hard for me.
So going back to the writing, you know, you talked about working out and then sweatpants and coffee and long, you know, long stretches.
No makeup.
Oh, no makeup. Yeah. And long stretches.
No glasses. Yeah.
On Saturday, so that's not a daily practice. It's more like bigger chunks over the weekend.
If I'm going to write a book, it isn't a daily practice, right? I mean, it's like I have to marinate on an idea. You know, you have to see what kind, you have to have like, what is it? What's the right word? It's like kind of dead space, white space. And so there's been a year because I published a book in January of last year that came out called Hard Conversations Unpacked. So if you're not my father, you've let it lie. If you're my father who's 85, he's saying, when's the next book coming out? When's the next book coming out? You got to actually, it's like, ay, 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 the guilt. But he knows that I need to be conscientiously and intentionally marinating. You know what I mean? Crafting it, molding it, like shaping it. And if I can do that in my head, but I also have to see what the struggles are, what the need is in the field, what matches where my interest is, what matches where my skill set is. Because we know that we still need lots of work on so many topics. I mean, you're in a school right now. Wouldn't it be great if you had more to support this in the classroom or this in the school? Some of that's just not for me to write. So I have to find something that I care deeply about. And so I will then just sit down for long periods of time and have to do it and then do it. You know what I mean? So, and I don't do it during the week because if I'm traveling, you know, my editor was laughing. He goes, well, why aren't you writing on the plane? I'm like, right on the plane from Chicago to San Francisco at 7 at night? Like, who are you? You know what I mean? Like, you have got to be so disciplined. It's not me. Leanne Jung is a consultant that I know, and she chunked it. She, in fact, found like a hotel room. My friend Jane Kesey goes to a cottage. Jim Knight goes and sits in his cabin. I mean, people have to like, they go Thoreau. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I love it.
Just get away. And I think it's because it's that difficult because you're birthing something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not fun. And then you have to deal with the discomfort of it, you know? I mean, it's just blah. Wow. But it's so pretty when it comes out. So it's very cool.
What message would you put on all school marquees if you could do that for a day?
School marquees for a day? Well, that's really short, isn't it?
But it can scroll. You can make it a long message.
So I have a bunch of quotes up on my wall. Some have swear words, so I won't talk about that. How about one of these two? Ready? If you think adventure is dangerous, try routine. It's lethal. That's a quote that I really like. Or do not miss what this life has to offer. You will never have another chance. Something that ups the urgency, you know what I mean, for people. Take that risk. Raise your hand. Ask the girl to prom. Sign up for that music. You know, try to, you know, get into the musical. Try to make student council president. I mean,
Play in the deep end.
Right. And I think that if we did that more with kids, we might feel bigger as adults, more deep end as adults. I just worry that we're playing in the shallow end of the pool way too much. It just scares me. It scares me in education. So, well, in the whole world, but you know, that's one big place where we don't have that kind of time. We got to do something. You know that.
I know.
You better leader.
Thank you. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leader, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I am up for, and I am not kidding, I challenge people, okay, to call me for a free consulting session about whatever personal thing they're trying to build or grow in their work, and they can find me at jennifer@jenniferabrams.com. The only reason that I can offer that, and that's why I think this is so bizarre, is that when I do that, most people never pick it up. They never go to the deep end and go, who's this random person? Okay, I'll just chat with her. It's like a blind date they're never going to go on. So I'm literally at jennifer@jenniferabrams.com or www.jenniferabrams.com or at Twitter, Jennifer Abrams, or Skype, Jennifer Abrams. I mean, I'm there. Find me and let's talk about where you're going. And I would love to help. So that's my final word. Let's see if anybody takes me up on it. I will write you and let you know.
Sounds good. Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Jennifer. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jennifer in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlight of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jennifer, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Always a pleasure.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.